Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, February 24th, 2020. I'm John Mbai, and joining me today is my Blue Knight brother.
Blue.
Why am I
red,
blue?
Red Knight?
Why am I red, though?
I don't know. Whatever knight you want to be, it doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
Benjamin Abaya.
Hello.
Hello.
You're a knight. You're the Dark Knight.
Yes. Oh, the Dark Knight. We can talk about that. Those set photos of him on the motorcycle and slipping. Oof.
I think they're doing a Jackass and Batman crossover.
Oh, God.
Because I think Daniel C is like, he says there, "Hi, I'm Batman and welcome to Jackass."
Wait, I forgot how the starting of Jackass is.
Yeah.
Is that how the starting is? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's always like that.
Oh, yeah. John X is, "Oh, I'm John X." Welcome to the Batman.
And then you see him tying up Joker gang and stuff like that, the Riddler gang.
I liked it. I liked it. The set photos. Set photos of the Matrix 1.
We don't know what's happening. I mean, I'm excited for both movies, but the Matrix 1 seems literally like they're just on a date. Do you seen the... Carrie Moss?
I think it's Carrie Moss.
And now I forgot the actor. No, Keanu Reeves on the motorcycle. And she's on the motorcycle.
Did they slip and fall?
No. But they just seem like it's a... I don't know what that...
You had a theory that they're going to do like a new Nightmare-esque...
Oh, yes, that's my theory. It's like they're filming Matrix, but it's actually real.
Yeah.
Like the thing. Yeah. I don't know if that's true, but it'd be kind of interesting. So if you're new to the podcast, we don't usually talk about the Batman and the Matrix in the thing. This is just the thing. This is our second time recording this behind the scenes, if you want to know, of this actual episode, because my recorder actually failed and I did not see how many minutes left.
And that was like 3 hours of recording.
Yes. And something's wrong with my recorder.
So this is the fourth hour, and we're just going to do a fast pace.
I don't know. Something's wrong with my recorder. It says it has 49 minutes left. I thought I bought like a four-hour recorder, but I guess it's only 1 hour. I remember storing other hours in here, but I have to look into it more. But if you are new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions on what we watched, listened, played, and read throughout the week. And we end the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is as Amazon Prime's Hunters or Hunters presented by Amazon Prime. Either one, which one you pick. Looking forward to that. We only watched one episode, so if you guys want to...
Which
like,
came out this past weekend.
Yeah, this weekend. So if you guys want to listen to that end part, go watch it. Pause it right now on the episode.
Pause it right after.
Before the main discussion. We'll let you know in the main discussion because you hear the trailer and whatnot. But before we're going on or moving on to what we watch, play, listen, and read throughout the week, we do have a trailer talk. This week's trailer talk is A24's new movie, The Green Knight.
We all fear. But fear can be a gift.
Do not waste this.
A fantasy retelling of the medieval story of Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. I think I said that right.
We discovered that that's not how you say Gawain.
How you say it?
It's Gawain.
Gawain. Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. And you're just telling me this in the last thing that we recorded, that Sir Gawain is parts of the Arthur, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table Republic. I was about to say again. I did not know that going into the movie, so that's interesting. The movie is directed and written by David Lory, who also directed Disney's Peace Dragon and A24's Ghost Story. So if you guys are interested in those movies.
A Ghost Story.
The movie stars Dev Patel, Alicia Vikander, and Joel Edgerton.
I think that's it.
Those are three that we see in the trailer mostly. So looking forward to see what they play a part in the film.
And I think Sean Harris is like the king.
He is the king? So if you watch the trailer.
Oh, no. Ralph Ineson
is playing the King Green Knight. So if you go in the trailer, there's a person who is playing the Green Knight. has hella makeup, so we don't know. It looks good, like it's practical. It
looks
makeup.
Like a tree from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but not special effects. It looks like legit, like they use makeup and stuff like that. So I'm excited for that. Ben, what is your history with David Laurie, and are you excited to see this retelling of this medieval story?
I don't have a history with David Laurie, except I really actually like Peach Dragon.
I've never watched that.
That's the only film I watch of him. I know there's Ain't Them Body Saints, and then a ghost story, and I think he made one called like Old Man and the Gun. I heard they're like all acclaimed and really
sounds very different. Like each
each one is a different type of genre. Yeah. But this seemed like in the same pathway as Peach Dragon when he uses like fantasy elements, but more realistic. I mentioned this in the real recording. I'm actually interested in the film because they have someone in a historical role. Usually it's like a white male. This one you have Dev Patel in this role, a person of color. So that's going to be interesting to see, just because I feel like you could retell these sort of fantasies and mythologies with another person, not just a default.
But Ben,
standard.
It's not historically correct.
No,
then.
I'm pretty sure you could do that.
You can't do that. You're rewriting history.
Yeah. but yes, so I am interested in that. I love the cinematography. I don't know if he worked with this person. His name is Andrew Dros Pelamero. So I don't know if this is his first time with David Laurie. It looks like it is probably his first time with him. So I'm looking forward to that. But I like A24's films, and I love most of... Oh, yeah, he worked a ghost story with them. So that it makes sense that why it looks kind of like a ghost story.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm into A24 films, really into like their independent filmmaking and how letting the creators... create whatever they want and then have an actual like market for them. I mean, this past year, it's not A24's film, but it is another independent like film studio, Neon.
Oh yeah.
You have Parasite win that one. And in a couple of years it was Moonlight, which is part of
South Korean film won Best Picture, Ben.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't agree.
I heard someone doesn't like it.
And they think that Gone with the Wind should be the one
nominated,
to win it.
Win
again.
It's
weird. Like he wants to go back to the old way of America.
I think it's when America was great.
Yeah, yes, that's about the term they use. Yes. But congratulations to Parasite. I think we didn't even talk about that.
No.
It's a movie I've never watched yet.
Yes.
And I need to watch.
Yes.
And Neon's the one that made that.
Yeah,
that's
Neon,
insane that they because I've seen that production company or studio a lot. Well, in certain movies, and it is an indie thing, so that's kind of cool. My thoughts on The Green Knight, similar to yours, I love the cinematography. I like there's a scene in the trailer about the puppets, and they do a thing in the scene where a person gets chopped off and all the blood and guts, and you see the reaction of the kids. So I wonder how that plays in. Like, are they going to show that scene first? Just like, back in the time, the story, that it's an introduction to the legend of this retelling of the story, so I'm excited. And then they show like this cool imagery of Dev Patel sitting on the throne, and it's like a biblical imagery.
Yeah.
I don't know how you say that, where he's holding out. It's like our mom had this, the Santo Niño. It's literally that imagery, isn't it?
It's like a saint. Yes.
Yeah, it's like a saint. And that's like, I wonder how that's going to play. Like, what's the theme of that imagery and stuff like that? So excited to see that. I haven't seen him in a long time since, man, what's the last movie? I know he did 1 million. How was it?
Slumdog Millionaire.
I don't know.
He's a kid.
No. I know. But then he did the Wes Anderson, right? Or that's someone else.
That is someone else.
Oh, I'm getting mixed up now. What was the last film he's in? Because I feel like I've seen him somewhere that very indie. The last thing that he was in.
And he was really good.
Chappie. That's the other one. Actually, that's the actual one.
Oh, I think there's one that's like before
that.
Chappie. After Chappie.
Yeah, but Chappie's the one I knew.
You're right. That he's not in a lot of things. I heard that the personal history of David Copperfield is good.
Oh, he plays David Copperfield too.
Yeah.
So he's owning that. Like, no, we're going
person
to
of color.
Yeah. It's like it's okay, you guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to The Green Knight. Let's move on to the things we watch, playlist, and read. Ben, what have you been doing this week?
So I've been doing sports things.
Oh, really?
Not really.
Throwing that football.
No, basketball. Soccer. No, oh, basketball. Okay.
Basketball?
A couple weeks ago was the NBA All-Star Game.
Yes.
That was held in Chicago, Illinois, in, you know, the famous United Center. This year, they had Team LeBron with Team Giannis.
Wait, they do it that way now in All-Star?
Yeah, for the past 4 years.
Oh, I did not know that.
They don't have West versus East anymore.
So do they get to pick the team?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they get to pick the team. It's insane. No longer a voting where people vote in. Yeah.
Do you remember back in the day when voting in Elk Grove? Yeah, our high school helped get the Kings too.
Like several of the Kings members in the All-Star game. Yeah.
Man, I did not know that. They do that now.
They play for... This year, they actually changed all the rules. Mm-hmm. So they didn't play one full game. They actually play four different games that are 12 minute long.
Is this MTV basketball? Is there a third hoop?
No, there's none. Basically, it's just these fun little games that they play for charity.
That's cool.
So what's cool about it is like, because of the untimely Kobe Bryant's death, the late great Kobe Bryant's death, they adjusted some of the rules where the last quarter you had to reach 24.
Oh, this is MTV basketball. Yeah.
So no, but I think MTV basketball, there was a lot of
there's a lot of silly stuff.
It.
Yeah, but
this one is actually serious.
Yeah.
Just think of it like a pickup game that you're playing now. But in the NBA,
so the team has to end with 24.
No, they calculated everything. It goes by, although it's four separate games, they still calculate the score.
Uh-huh.
And then then you add 24 to the last game. So you have to reach a certain point. I think this year was 157.
Mm-hmm.
You have to reach 157, basically. The first team to reach 157 points. It's all in calculation. It's kind of weird at first in the beginning because you don't actually think about the score in the beginning until... After the fourth quarter, then you actually sum up all the three games into one score.
Yeah. Is this happening on one night?
This is happening one night. Think of it. They just broke down all the fourth quarters.
Okay.
Yeah, all four quarters into single games.
Okay.
That's it. It was Team LeBron, Team Giannis. I only say his last name because I've been trying to say his last name. He's from Greek, Giannis. So his name is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo, he's from the Milwaukee Bucks. He's been playing for about probably several years now.
So you're telling me that these two are picking the teams.
Yes.
So they can have other members.
Yes.
So LeBron could be playing at someone else from Lakers.
Cool. They don't have to. They're no longer separated by their conference, West versus East. So it was an interesting game because the players are now playing defense because you're playing essentially for the charities that you've picked. LeBron James picked Chicago Scholars, and then Giannis picked After School Matters. So each game, if they win a certain game, they give a certain amount of money. I think it's over $100,000 for each game. And then the last game, they give about $300,000. So overall, you earn up to, for one charity, up to $500,000 to $600,000, which is really cool.
Yeah.
They do this, like I said, they did like the final target score, which was the 24 for Kobe Bryant. I think this year was interesting and different just because of the excitement they have with playing for the charities. So there was a lot of defense and a lot of people, they weren't playing like just another exhibition game, but it felt like the best players playing against the best players in the NBA. So it was really exciting. I just brought it up because I think it's a good look and a good refreshing way of playing the All-Star games.
Yeah.
And I wish they continue this.
See, but with different team captains. I did not know that. I would watch that more.
Yeah. I think LeBron has won all four. I never watched the ones where Stephen Curry was the team captain because he's injured. He can't be the team captain this year.
Was he originally a team captain?
Yeah, he was. I think it was the first 2 years was LeBron and then Curry, and then the last 2 years it was Giannis and LeBron.
Okay.
So
So Curry was originally not Giannis. Giannis replaced Curry.
I thought because LeBron of his injury.
So LeBron's been doing the team thing for a long time.
Yeah, for 4 years.
Okay.
For the past 4 years.
Man.
So I think he's like, I want to say he's 4-0. I don't know if they won one. Steph Curry won one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just want to highlight that. And then it kind of, it all comes into play for the thing I watched this week. Excuse me, after burp. I don't think John's going to remove this part of the.
No, yeah.
But that's what happens when you're over 30. You just start burping every time.
I haven't burped in a long time.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. So I've watched a documentary film. It's actually my third time watching it. But I just want to highlight it because I think it's in the Criterion Channel app. So you can watch it right now. But it is Hoop Dreams. The 1994's Hoop Dreams, directed by Stephen James. The documentary film follows William Gates and Arthur Agee. They are from like tough and poor neighborhoods in Chicago, in which a person drafts them into a high school, St. Joseph High School in Westchester, Illinois.
You can draft people in high school?
Yes, you can. If you want to win a state championship, you could possibly do that. So they follow these young to...
What year is this? Like what...
94.
Okay.
Yeah. So it has to happen prior to 94. So probably it started at 9. Like when they follow him all 4 years.
Oh, cool.
So it has to be probably 1990 or 91
mm-hmm.
In the starting of it. So you're entering like the 90s at this time. And then it deals with a lot of social class systems, the economic division, the United States education system, and how race plays like an integral part of these young black people. Boys in their life, and how someone from their upbringing is affected by something like a St. Joseph High School, which is a private school, so you have to pay like a lot of money to be in the school. It features like NBA stars like Isaiah Thomas, Juwan Howard, Jalen Rose, and Chris Webber. Those last three, they show them as like actual high school students.
What?
So they were in a Nike basketball camp, and you see them in the background here.
Do they show them older in the documentary?
No. Okay. This takes place in 94, so they haven't yet. I don't think they've been drafted yet.
NBA. This is not a retrospective documentary.
No.
Okay,
this is
so
like
still film. Okay, yeah.
Well, because it came out in 94.
Yeah. In my mind, I thought they filmed it and they updated it.
No. I mean, there is a. I think there's a complimentary like. Not behind the scenes, but like a documentary film that shows what happens to all mm-hmm. the people in the story. But if you love sports films, or if you love like documentary films, I say go out and watch it. I don't want to spoil anything. I mean, you get spoil all you want, but because it happened almost over 25 years ago, so
yeah,
a lot has happened since then. But the William Gates and Arthur Agee, they're probably like in their late 50s now. So late 40s
yeah,
now.
Yeah, late 40s. Yeah.
Because they were in high school in 94. They just graduated high school in 94. So yeah, they have to be at least 45 or 46 mm-hmm. now. But yeah, I recommend watching it. And yeah, if you want to watch I think Siskel and Ebert champion it as being like the best documentary film in film history, just because, just imagine like you're a documentary filmmaker and you're following two real people and you're following them for 4 years. You don't know how, you know, like in a regular film, you have like three act structure. You have a climax towards the end, but you don't know what will be the climax to this. Like,
yeah,
like that's why I think it's one of the best documentaries, because there are some turns that you don't expect. And then it makes you even like empathetic more to the people involved. And you're like questioning like whether or not, you know, should people be watching these young stars. You start to question a lot of social things happening here, especially like one of the coaches, the coach from St. Joseph High School, how he treats their players. It's not, I don't feel like it's ethical nowadays how you treat the players, but he pushed them to like the limit.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's probably not as well received nowadays the way he pushed the kids. But I think he's still a coach in the team, But yeah, that's Hoop Dreams. You could catch it on the Criterion Channel, directed by Steve James.
And it costs money, right? Criterion Channel?
Yes, I think it costs about $10 a month or $5 okay. a month. I mean, it has the best films around the world. Mm-hmm. So it's worth the pay if you're cinephile, basically.
Yeah. I'll check that out.
Yeah. It's a long documentary. It was originally supposed to be a television series in PBS, mm-hmm. but because I think they found something far greater, they wanted to make it into a film.
Okay. Yeah. I'll check that out. You have anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Moving into what I did, something more, I guess, a challenging or sports related a little bit.
I mean, you could play this as a esports.
It's esports, but the premise is a sports arena. So I'm discussing the thing that I've been playing for the last year and a half, almost, or in a year. And they just came in their 1 year anniversary a couple weeks ago.
Wow, it's already been 1 year.
Yeah. Apex Legends Season 4, but I'm mostly going to be talking about the new legend real quick. Revenant.
DiCaprio in a bear suit.
It is, actually. Oh, okay. You play this character in the bear suit, and you. I've never watched that movie, so I have no reference. I remember
he lives in the bear at one point.
I don't know if it's the Oscars or the SAG Award. What? Somewhere they show they made fun of it. Like they do the little like montage of movie, and then they made
someone
fun.
Came in the bear.
It's not the MTV Movie Awards. I know that because that's long.
You know what's weird is that in Midsommar they do that too.
Where?
Oh, the bear.
Spoiler. Yeah. That's a huge spoiler. Yeah. in that movie. Go watch that movie if you haven't seen it. Revenant is a new legend. So this is our 12th, I believe, legend in the thing. Because the character screen is perfectly symmetrical now with four each. So it's four characters, four in each row with three columns or wherever you
3x4.
3x4. Sorry, yeah, 3x4. 3x4. Yes. So he's a little bit different. So he had like this. I don't know if you heard the Apex news, Ben. Like if you keep up with this and
I have
Twitter
not played
whatnot.
This game for 6 months.
It was like he was in this Halloween event last year that he took over the island and made everyone into these ghost figures. And it's basically like a zombie game in Halloween. And they did that for like a play for like a week or two and stuff like that. And then people was like, oh, he's a new legend and whatnot. We don't know. We didn't know what was it. So when they were revealing the new legend, it was actually this one guy. I forgot his name now. It's like this muscular MMA fighter that they even did like an announcement trailer. Like he's joining the fight and stuff like that. Because he was participating. He had this company backing him up to participate in the Apex Legend games. That he'll represent the company and stuff like that. And then while they were doing it, Reverend comes behind him and stabs him in the back, and then he dies basically. Oh. So he actually is the new. So that stuff leaked, so everyone knew about it right away. So I thought it would be so cool because you know how games like Overwatch and all these other like games that have these character class things that when they reveal it, they don't do that. So it would have been kind of cool if that actually paid off and stuff, but it didn't. I knew about it before. So he is a different style of character. I forgot what type is he, but he everything about him is unknown. Like he is a robot. We know he has a human thing component to him because he had either a human brain or whatnot. I'm not gonna read his profile. You can check it out at the Apex Legends website on EA.com. but yeah, so he's a character that's faster than others, and he has this ability where a lot of the characters don't do this a lot or doesn't do it at all, but like Mirage has a cloning device where he can make two of himself. One you can't control and whatnot, but he just goes out there. This is ultimate in here. It's called a death totem. So he conjures up this death totem from his hand or from the ground, and then your teams can go on it and click to enter it. And when they enter it, it basically makes them into this dark like this ghostly figure.
What?
But you can still play.
Yeah.
You could play that person. But the way it works is like if you get hit and die, you don't die. You just come back to the totem and you're just there again.
So you're like, you're just mimicking.
Yes. The thing. But so players can tell when it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you tell?
Because it's basically your skin will be all this black and red, like basically like hell is coming out of you.
Oh,
they can tell. But it's interesting because if you do find the totem somewhere from another team, you can destroy it, and then that means they can't be revised and stuff like that. So I thought that was an interesting way of playing the legend. A lot of people are picking him right now, but he has this bad, like very rude personality. Though in the game, when you're picking up weapons, you can say like thank you and stuff like that. The way he's like, when he says thank you, he's like, I'm not going to thank you. That's it. Like he literally says that. I was like, or if you help him out, he's like, oh, what do you expect from me or something like that. Something in those long lines. But he's a very like in your face. Like I don't want to use the word edgelord type. Yeah. People keep saying that about him.
But I have no idea what that means.
Like you're on like, oh yeah, I'm so bad that you guys hate me because I'm bad type thing. But that's literally what everyone likes him because he has that bad persona. There's two characters like this already in the game, Wraith and Caustic. They have the same little bit similar persona, but he takes it to the next degree, like the whole thing. So yeah, check that out if you guys want to, if you guys are still interested in Apex Legend. I know, Ben, you haven't played. You're trying to play Call of Duty. I played Call of Duty the past weekend. I have no idea what I'm doing half the time. I need a team to play, and we're like all scattered out, like our schedules and stuff like that. So hard to play like video games together. I wish this was cross-platform because I think you'll like this more because it's Battle Royale and then the game.
I thought it was cross-platform.
No, they said they announced it a while ago, okay. But they haven't. It's going to mobile, so I don't know if your phone can handle this game. But yeah, check out Apex Legends. I think that's all I have for this whole week. There's other things I'm doing. There's a book next to you I'll talk to in the future. It's called Betrayal. It's from R.L. Stein. It's part of the Fear Street saga. So back in the day, I'm just going to talk about this real quick. R.L. Stein made what's the famous book series, Ben, that R.L. Stein made?
It's when they morph into animals.
Oh, yeah, Animorphs. I've never read that at all.
Goosebumps.
Yes, Goosebumps. So you consider Goosebumps as a kid book, right?
Yes.
Like it's all like kid-friendly book. So Fear Street is his... a young adult book, and this actually came out.
So these are like teenagers.
Towards 20s, that phase. Yeah, but these came out in the 80s and 90s. So I did not know that, and then I was like, I saw. I forgot who is it. They're from a podcast, but they always post the books. And I was like interested, and then I'm reading it right now. So this one's about basically the beginning of Fear Street a little bit. If you want to know the knowledge, called Betrayal. The one thing they pay attention to in this book, I really hate, like every time I read this book, because it makes me hate the history, especially American history, about witches and how we just accuse anyone to be a witch. And then
that sounds familiar right now.
But yeah, it just makes me hate the like that history of America where like we used to do this to falsely, just because
you mean people making false statements and they believe in it.
I wish we don't continue. At least we don't burn them in the stake. Well, I guess
I don't know. Yeah. There's some other worst things you could do. So
look forward to my like full impression of that later.
You give it a good a recommendation right now.
Right now, yes. Besides the fact that I'm like kind of not hate reading it, but I just want
reading it.
I just want these characters to have a. I know it probably won't be.
There's a last time I've done that. Was this?
I like reading the book. I just don't like the characters in it. That I don't like dislike them, but they portray them really bad. Like he wrote it in the way like I don't want this character to live. Like I want this character to get revenge, basically. It is a revenge book. It starts out as a revenge book.
The last book I sort of hate read, where I actually stopped immediately, was Chuck Palahniuk, the guy who made like Fight Club.
Fight Club 2.
I think he made that comic book too, Fight Club 2. I'm pretty sure he made the comic book too. He made this is an old book of his, diary, a novel.
Is that a diary or is it a novel?
It's called Diary, a Novel,
uh-huh.
But it's from like 2004. But the way he wrote that.
This is after Fight Club then.
Yeah, it's right after. Yeah. This is like right, I've read, The Survivor and what was that? Invisible Monster, I think it's called.
I have no idea. I never read any of his books.
So that the point of view of the diary, of the novel Diary, is that he wrote it where the main character is writing a diary.
Uh-huh.
But
also the main character has like schizophrenia or something, where it makes no sense. Like the first like probably 100 pages, I was so frustrated, I just put it down.
It's not a choose your adventure book, right?
No, yeah, it's just like, the way it's written. It's really, it's not as good, or it's not engaging as you would like.
You know, J.J. Abrams made a book like that, where it's like, you open the slits of the pages and you read it with black light. I think that's what I'm thinking about J.J. Abrams. He made a book like that. It's like called Decoded or something. I don't know. I might be just imagining that in my head, but I remember it was like hyped up in the in the thing. But yeah, moving on to the things that our main discussion this week. Our main discussion is Amazon Prime's Hunters.
How did Nazi get into the States? I'm on the first flight back to New York to find out.
I'd like to know who you are!
Never. We must send a message. Nothing in. Welcome to the hunt.
They're coming to America.
A devised band of Nazi hunters living in 1977 New York City discover hundreds of high-ranking Nazi officials are conspiring to create a fourth Reich in the U.S. Ooh, thrilling, right, Ben? To just learn about that. The creator of the series is David Well. I'm not familiar to him.
I don't think he's written anything.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar to him.
I'm not sure how he got this project. But, he's the executive producer by Jordan Peele, though.
Yes, yeah. So that's the main draw of the
thing. I think it's from his company, Monkey Paw.
I didn't even see the credits when it said anything like that. You know how like sometimes they do the... beginning credits.
Yeah.
But the cast is Logan Lerman, Jerrica Hinton, Lena Olin, Saul Robrenknik, and Carol Kane. And of course the everyone knows is Al Pacino is like not the leading man, but he's in it quite a bit in here.
It is by Monkey Paw's production.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see anything saying Monkey Paw, so I wasn't 100% sure. I know it's produced from him, but yeah. Before we begin our review of it, we only watched the first episode, and we have no actually prior law knowledge. I got super confused. I don't know if this was based on a comic book. I swore this was a comic book, but I guess I was looking at something else. Because I think they made a poster for this that looked like a comic book.
Yeah.
So there's two posters. When they announced this on Comic-Con, there was a poster of it literally like a comic book. So I'm like, oh, this is a comic book based on a thing. But because it's not like a comic book, you can tell because they don't say based on a comic book or
it's
whatnot.
It's based on true events.
What?
Yeah.
Is it?
But it's very, very, very thinly based on true events.
I did not know that.
I forgot the original character, but whoever Al Pacino's playing,
uh-huh.
There is a character that there did is a that? Real life person who don't kill.
Oh, okay.
They just use the justice system.
Okay.
He basically found evidence and then brought them to
it's
trial.
It's like Law and Order.
Yeah, yeah.
The Hunters. They
yeah,
should have
yeah.
been. Doom, doom.
And none of the names
are
used
about?
Correctly.
Yeah. I see this the Nazi here. The box carrying people. So Ben, what is your thoughts on Hunters, the first episode?
I really, really like the premise. I think it's a promising premise. I think having these actors involved, like Al Pacino and what's his name?
One thing I want to know. I don't know if you did research on this.
Yeah.
Is Al Pacino Jewish? Are any of these people Jewish? Because it's very weird they're trying to do this like Jewish accent or voice.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I don't know if that's how.
I actually don't know. I don't think he. It looks like.
He is an actor. They're all actors, and they could like portray it. But I don't know, because they got another real person who is Jewish to portray that character, or because it's Al Pacino.
I don't know if. Okay. It's interesting if he wasn't. I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah.
A lot of the characters here are portraying Jewish people, so that's why.
Well, the main group isn't.
Yeah, oh, they're not?
Not all of them are Jewish.
Oh, I thought they
not
were.
The main when group. They were, when they're introducing them?
Yeah, yeah. They
are somehow involved with like World War II.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Minor spoilers too, if everyone's wondering. We can't really discuss it without the premise.
But I like how the setup is very like Men in Black or Kingsman, where you recruit someone who's young, who's really smart. But
they kind of accidentally recruit him.
Yeah, because they accidentally,
the character, what's his name, is playing. Logan Lerman's playing his name, Lerman. Jonah. Logan but Lerman. He's a, like... genius, like this. They borderline. They always call him like, "Oh, he's a genius," and he is a person that does the whole Sherlock Holmes thing, where he can see patterns, he can figure out things by just looking at it. And they do the Sherlock Holmes thing where they highlight the thing that
literally,
he's
looking
at. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it so far. I don't know if I'm probably gonna watch all 10 episodes. I think. Did you watch the second episode?
No.
I think there's a switch in tone by the second episode where they made it into like this Quentin Tarantino grindhouse film now.
What do you mean?
You'll see what happens. Very out, like how the first episode is like this very standard like drama about Nazi killers. The second episode gets like they basically made it into this campy version of that first episode, which is so, it's really good too, but it kind of took me out of it. Like, oh, is this what they're really going for? Because I didn't get that hint at all in the first episode.
Yeah, me too. It seems super like serious a little bit.
Although I know he's a great character, I do like, I think his name is Biff. Played by Dylan Baker, is that his name? Biff. Simpson. Oh,
so in the first couple of scenes, you see the like the head Nazi, basically.
Yeah. No, but that actor who's playing him, not him, his assistant. I don't know what his assistant name is.
His assistant.
Yeah.
Oh, the like his right hand man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know his name too. I don't believe he said his name.
I think it's this guy, Travis Leach.
Travis Leach, him, Greg Austin.
Greg Austin. He plays Travis Leach, who plays like the right hand person of, or the new. He's also a new member of new Nazis, the neo Nazi, whatever you want to call them. But he plays it really menacing, and I think it's in the first episode with the bowling alley.
Yes. Yeah, I had no idea what was happening there because like. Is he going to kill him? But he just wants to pressure the congressman. Yeah. And you're wondering why. And you find out, oh, we don't want, what was it? Something with like, not immigration, but they don't want to be working with South America.
I didn't know there was a Doctor Who spinoff called Class.
Yeah. It's like the teeny bopper thing.
What's that mean?
So there's an episode of Doctor Who.
Like the latest one?
No, like a couple, probably in the last 5 years. Where,
well, who's the doctor?
Peter
at the
Capaldi.
Time.
Actually, I never watched it. He goes to this high school, and there's like these weird things happening in the high school. So it's basically a spinoff of that. So they did a backdoor pilot to it in there.
Oh.
So they called it Class. But it's like a short lived series. And then I think Peter Capaldi or Matt Smith, one of them is the one.
It's Peter Capaldi because that's 2016.
Yeah.
I would know because, yeah.
But yeah, that was the thing. we'll continue on. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he's a very menacing person. And you find out, like, yeah, he is basically don't want to trade with South America or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's something with that. It's literally like something a Nazi would
do. I think you have to take all, because they're playing in the surrealism of it all, where, not surrealism, but like there's an alternate universe in a way where it's not playing with our rules of, you know, the Nazis. Mm-hmm. Like these Nazis were like, I mean, the Nazis are awful nonetheless, but they were playing into, like, there's a Nazi soldier that use the Jewish people as like chess pawns.
Yes.
Pawns.
Kind of silly, but yeah.
So like you have to take in a grain of salt and kind of roll your eyes. Okay, this is just going to be, you know, everything's super dramatized.
This reminds me of their other show, The Dark Castle, or The High... What's it called?
The Man in the High Castle.
Yeah. There they take
is that
the
Amazon Prime.
One of them.
Yeah, I think it is Prime.
It's either Hulu or Amazon Prime. Yeah. I don't know which one, but it has the same tone a little bit.
Yeah, like, I think so too.
But you're telling me the second episode, because I watched a couple.
It's
episodes.
Really silly.
Really, like really, really silly.
You said you watched a couple episodes.
Of High with the Men. Oh, yeah. That never became silly. That became too serious before. Yeah. I don't want to watch it. It's just basically like revised history. But this one is kind of like they make it more serious, it seems like.
Yeah.
Especially when you find out like all these characters, how they're connected, and the way when the characters die and the reason why she died. I was like, okay, all of it pieced together. It makes a really compelling story that I'm looking forward to watching. But then you keep saying about.
the way it plays the grindhouse feeling, the aesthetic.
It's not like a narrator.
It's like 2 minutes.
Welcome to the Hunters.
No, it's like 2 minutes in the second episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Did they change the begin intro?
It's like the tone of it was really no. The
intro was really good though. Yeah. The chess pieces. Yeah. I was like, man, this is really good. It reminds me of the
Game of Thrones.
Not Game of Thrones. There was a game, Hitman, the mobile game Hitman.
Oh yeah,
It looked like a game board basically, and all the like we're just pawns the whole time. And there is a. I even text you my favorite quote in here is Al Pacino and towards the ending where he tells the Nazi, you mistake us as for pawns, but we were kings.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that's really good. Yeah. That's a good quote from Al Pacino in that scene. But
yeah, I think it's overall a good premise. Looking forward, especially how it is related to today's like political climate, if you want, or social climate, if you want to say, and like you know, we are living among like real Nazis in America, but they don't have the same, I guess,
clout. Like they don't have, but they have someone listening to them. Yeah, that's
like,
a bad part.
They have like influences, people who are influenced by them.
Yeah.
So
and say like, no, I'm not Nazi. Let them live still.
Yeah. So they could be dangerous at the same time.
Yeah. I can't really add on more to you because we only watched the first episode, and I agree most of the things that you said. Well, all the things, except I'm kind of like now. Thinking like, should I continue because of the second episode?
Watch the second episode, I say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I wonder, is it as silly as really like how Grindhouse? Like they?
Yeah, it's okay. That silly.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't believe the tone is that different then.
We'll watch it after this one.
Okay.
It's literally the first 2 minutes of
the thing. Yeah. Okay.
You're like, oh wow, the tone just
switched.
Yeah, switched.
But yeah, I like all the characters so far, and even though they quickly show like the hunters in here, but I like each one.
No,
like,
the second episode introduces them.
No, but towards the ending they show them.
Yeah, but then they introduce like one by one.
Oh, okay, they actually show like which one's which.
Yeah.
There is a character or a actor here I like. She never ages. She plays the pair, the husband and wife character. Carol Kane, is it Carol Kane?
Yeah,
Carol Kane. She's one of those actors that she's in a lot of my like
character actor.
No, but character, but she's in a lot of my from my kid upbringing. Yeah. She's like one of
Scrooge, Princess Diaries,
Adam's Family,
A Princess Bride, and Princess Diary,
and even to the lace to the point where she's in Gotham. She played Penguin's mom. I was like, man, she's back.
I forgot about that.
She's really good in that too. She just has a good personality. Like her acting is really good. Like every time I see her on screen, I always think like, man, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
Oh, she was in Halt and Catch Fire. Did not realize that. But yeah, check it out if you guys want to. It's Amazon Prime. I think it's like $10 a month.
Amazon Prime.
Is it $5?
It's included in your Amazon Prime.
Oh, which is like $100. Yeah. Oh yeah, they don't do the monthly thing.
Yeah, I don't think they do monthly.
They did the smart way. That's why Bezos is rich.
Yeah, I think that's why he is rich.
And that's why we have to applaud capitalism, right?
Yeah.
Man? Yeah. but yeah, go check that out. I think that's it for our main discussion. Moving on to the last thing on our list is our things that we've plug, I guess. Ben, where can they check you out on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Benjamin Abaya.
You can check me out on Twitter at AbayaArts. I was about to say .com. You can go to AbayaArts.com. It actually goes to my personal thing that I haven't touched like in years. You can check us out at TheFreakingAwesome.com for all our videos and podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at the TFA Now, or like us on Facebook by searching The Freaking Awesome. And you can subscribe to iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, anywhere of those podcasts or apps, I guess they're apps. If any questions, comments, email us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. I think that's everything, Ben, right? We have nothing else?
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Ben, for joining me. I'm John Abaya.
I'm Benjamin Abaya.
And that was The Freaking Awesome Podcast.